wonderful singing, and our God is great. Well, on June 22, 2002, a 33-year-old pitching star for the St. Louis Cardinals was found dead in his Chicago hotel room. He was young, physically active, and appeared to be in good health. However, the autopsy revealed that he had a 90% blockage in two of three coronary arteries, an enlarged heart, and a blood clot in one of the arteries. You see, his appearance misled many to think that he was physically healthy. I tell you, folks, looks can be deceiving. In our gospel story today, the Lord Jesus' clear and compelling teaching will show us that appearances can deceive people, that includes you and me, into thinking that they are spiritually healthy. After the Pharisees accused the Lord Jesus and his followers of breaking their religious traditions by not washing their hands before they ate, our Lord rebuked the Pharisees for laying aside the commands of God for man-made religious traditions. Still on their case, the Lord Jesus reprimanded them by making it very, very clear to them that kingdom righteousness or spiritual health was not an outside-in job, but an inside-out transforming work of God. You see, according to Jesus, the religious leaders looked very, very impressive spiritually, but their hearts were diseased and distant from the one true God of the universe. They could talk the talk very, very well, but when it comes to walking the walk with a heart that is surrendered to God and doing it according to God's way, not man's way, they were found wanting. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at this urgent hour in your life and my life. And please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, because we are going to talk about the heart today, where the Holy Spirit is poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's precious and powerful truth in order to change born-again Christians among us here today more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and leader of the church, and to convict the unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of lost sinners, of whom I am the chief. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I want you to listen to it with an open heart and an open mind. Listen, spiritual health is not determined by external rituals, but by the transforming work of God, of God's Spirit in the believer's heart. Let me repeat it again. Spiritual health is not determined by external rituals, but by the transforming work of God's Spirit in the believer's heart. In other words, true spiritual health is not about religious showmanship, but rather a surrendered heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here tonight, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly make it clear to us that purity, true purity and faith begin with the heart, not with external rituals, rules and regulations of men. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to the first gospel, the gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. And I'll be reciting only verse 8 and 9. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible? The Bible says, "These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Matthew chapter 15 was a pivotal point in the life of our Lord Jesus here on earth. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees were unrelenting in their efforts to trap him and discredit him. They wanted to put him down in order to promote themselves. Sadly, this wicked practice is still being employed by the enemies of God's true servants today. People who want to put God's true servants down in order to promote themselves. So a delegation of the scribes and Pharisees came from Jerusalem, charging Jesus' disciples with uncleanness for eating with their hands unwashed. That is, ceremonially. They have to wash in a ceremonial manner before they eat. So according to them, Jesus' disciples were breaking the traditions of the elders. So this became a major clash or confrontation or conflict between the Lord Jesus and the religious leaders. To the scribes and Pharisees, spiritual health was determined by what? Observance of certain outward rules and regulations and rituals, such as the correct way to wash your hands before you eat. For them, spiritual health was all about external rituals. However, to Jesus, spiritual health or true worship was a thing which had its seat in the heart, which issues into a life willing to surrender to God and do things God's way, not man's way. So for our time tonight, I would like us to look at the concluding part of Jesus' response to the religious leaders, because there are several important truths in it for you and I to learn. So first of all, notice that Jesus directs our attention to their talk. Their talk. Notice the Bible says in the first part of verse 8, "These people honor me with what? Their lips." Remember, the Lord Jesus was quoting a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13. Just as the prophet Isaiah addressed the Jews of his day from Jerusalem with a religion characterized by external rituals, so now the Lord Jesus addresses the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem whose religion was marked with by outward appearance. Such is the power of prophecy. You see, the prophecy spoke to the people in Isaiah's day exactly what they needed to hear. But now, God is using the same prophecy to speak to the people of Jesus' day, the religious leaders, exactly what they also needed to hear. And may I say to us today, the Holy Spirit is now using this prophecy to speak to you and me today, if we will only listen. Now, the word translated, "these people honest," the word honor, also means to prize, to revere, to value. So the Lord Jesus is saying of the Pharisees and scribes, if only you listen to their talk, you'll be highly impressed that they value God above all else. Their talk indicates that they knew a lot about God. In other words, if you evaluate only based on their talk, you will conclude that they are spiritually healthy. While similarly, there are many people today who can talk the talk and make you believe that they are valuing God above all else. They can speak Christianese, that is the Christian lingo, so well to impress the undiscerning and naive. Now you see, friends, being spiritually healthy is not just about mere talk. So now, the Lord Jesus reveals something very important to you and to me. And what is that? He discloses to us, listen carefully, the true condition, the true heart condition of the religious leaders. Please listen, the only one who knows the heart and discloses its true condition is Almighty God, revealed fully and finally in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows the darkest secrets of your heart. Jesus knows the deepest secrets of my heart. And you see, outwardly, the Pharisees looked spiritually healthy and even holy, because they carry themselves as so holy. In fact, they thought they were very, very close to God, when actually they weren't. They were so far away from Him, it's not even close. Notice what Jesus says of their true heart condition. He says, but their heart is far away from me. Now, the word translated far away is apeko. It also means to be distant or at a distance. It is applied figuratively here to the heart, the seat of human emotions, will, and understanding. The heart is the true inner self, the center of each person's being and intellect. You see, the religious leaders were so eager to have people go through the external rituals of washing their hands before eating, but they ignored the condition of their own heart, which was the important thing to God. The heart, their heart, was far away from God, not fully surrendered to God. They failed to understand that what is on the inside, that is their heart, is far more important to God than what is happening on the outside. Your heart matters to God, and my heart is the one thing that matters most to God. Now please listen, and let me show you why your heart matters the most to God. I'll just go through this quickly, just to give you a glimpse of why your heart matters to God. And that is why every time I come here, I tell you, just don't listen with your head, but listen with what? Your heart. Now, what is the first thing we need in order to be born again Christians? The Bible says a new heart. What is the sacrifice God asks us to bring to Him? The Bible says a broken and contrite heart. What is the true circumcision? The Bible says that the circumcision of the heart. What is genuine obedience? What is to obey God from the heart? Where is God's word to be hidden? Well, in the heart. That is where the word of God is to be hidden. What is saving faith? Well, to believe with the heart. Where ought Christ to dwell? Well, to dwell in our hearts through faith. And how is God to be loved? Well, we are to love God with what? All our heart. You see, friends, as far as Jesus is concerned, your heart is where it really matters. It reveals whether you are spiritually healthy or not. Not just going through the motions of external rituals. To profess to honor God with your lips while your heart is far away from Him is to be deceived. I tell you, friends, it is not enough to talk the talk. But please listen, to walk the walk, you must surrender your heart to Jesus. So my question to you today is, what is the true condition of your heart? Is it far away from Jesus, or is it fully surrendered to Jesus? Is it distant from Jesus, or is it drawing near to Jesus? If you want to know your true heart condition before God, just pray the words of the hymn, "Search me, O God." The hymn writer says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me, cleanse me, from every sin and set me free. Well, so far, we've learned about their talk and their true condition, the true heart condition. But please watch what comes next in this gospel story. The Lord Jesus now tells us in plain language about their tragic state before God. But you ask, what is their tragic state before God? Notice what the Bible itself says in the first part of verse 9. It says, but in vain do they worship me. I tell you, friends, there is nothing so tragic in life than to think that you are spiritually healthy, only to be told by the great physician that you are spiritually sick. You see, Jesus saw how diseased their heart was and how spiritually diseased they were. The religious leaders thought they were really worshiping God, revering God, adoring God, expressing an attitude of respect toward God, having a feeling of awe for God, or devoting themselves to God, only to be told directly and definitively by Jesus that it was all in vain. Please don't miss that point, because it is crucial to the message the Holy Spirit wants to impress upon your heart and my heart today. Notice the Bible says, but in vain do they worship me. Literally, that sentence reads, and vainly they worship me. In vain. Now, have you heard someone say that to you of late? In vain. Let's all say in vain. In vain. Well, the expression in vain or vainly also means useless, untrue, false, futile, worthless, to no end, to no purpose. You see, outwardly, the Pharisees and the scribes looked impressive spiritually to the people around them. But when the great physician, notice it's Jesus speaking, he's the great physician whose word is final on the spiritual state of every one of us here, examines them, he says, without fear or favor, that their worship is all worthless. It's all a waste. It's all useless. It's all to no end. Why? I tell you why. It's because God must be worshipped God's way, not man's way. The Pharisees were worshipping God their way, not God's way. So I want to leave this with you. And so I want us to say it together. God's way, not my way. God's way, not my way. Now you see, there are many people today who claim they are worshiping God, but they are not doing it God's way. They are doing it their own way, but they claim they are worshiping God. The Lord Jesus says to all these people, when you claim to worship God while your hearts are far away from me, when you worship God your own way, not God's way, your worship means absolutely nothing before God. It's all in vain. It's all to no end. Oh yes, outwardly you may look spiritually impressive before men, but not before God. Never, never, never. Jesus says, if you talk the talk, but are not walking the walk with a heart that is surrendered to him, your worship is what? Worthless. Jesus says, if you profess to honor God with your lips, but your heart is distant from him, your worship is all a waste. Jesus says, if you claim to worship God, but do not worship him, God's way, your worship is futile, is false, is useless, is untrue. How tragic. How tragic to stand before God and then he will tell you, oh, your worship of me is all in vain. That will be a shocker. And may I tell you, many people will come on that day and be told, your worship of me is all vain. You see, folks, worship, the worship of the Pharisees was worthless because they were giving higher priority to the traditions of men than the word of God. Even in Isaiah's day, most of the Jews had worshipped vainly on the basis of human tradition. And sadly, there are many people in that boat today. There are many people all over the world who claim they are worshiping God. But when God judges, when he examines them, he says, your worship is what? All in vain. Now we've looked at what the Bible says about the talk of the religious leaders, their true condition, and their tragic state before God. Now Jesus points us to one last thing before we close here, and that is their teachings. I tell you folks, these Pharisees love to teach. But the question is, what do they teach people who flock to their to hear them? Well, the Bible tells us, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And that is literally, that literally reads, teaching teachings, ordinances of men. Now, what is Jesus saying about their teachings? Simply this. He says their teachings are not from God, but reflect human tradition. In other words, their teachings are their own, with nothing of God's authority behind them. Their teachings, look. Jesus will.
You got the Bible open.
Jesus will talk to you.
You ain't got the Bible open, dude.
Jesus will talk to you. Jesus says their teachings are based on men's ideas, imaginations, thoughts, and traditions. So how does this message apply to you and me today? Well, please listen. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today, it is not enough to talk about God or even study the Bible. It is not enough for you to talk the talk. You must also be walking the walk with a heart that is fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, is your talk matching your walk? What is one area in your life that needs changing in order to get your heart and your mouth more in line with each other? Well, so for some of you here, that one area may be asking Jesus to take full control of your heart, or asking Jesus to set you free from drug abuse, alcohol addiction, pornography, gambling, suicidal thoughts. For others of you, the one area in your life that needs changing so that your heart and your mouth will be more in line is asking for deliverance for the anger, the bitterness, and the resentment that you are harboring in your heart against God and against people who have hurt you. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I honestly say to you that your life is on the path of being all in vain when you stand before God in the day of judgment. Why? You are not living your life the way God wants you to live your life. But all that can change for you today, because God is now giving you a wonderful opportunity to begin to live life His way. And how do you begin to live life God's way? Well, you simply say to Jesus today that you are a sinner whose life is on a path of being all in vain. You sincerely surrender your heart to Jesus today to make it your home from this day forth for the rest and for the rest of your life. And you seriously seek the forgiveness of Jesus for all your sins based on his death on the cross, his burial to put away your sins, and his resurrection from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. So if you want to do business with God, I have thought about, if you want somebody to pray for you and you don't want to walk here, come forward, just raise your hand. One of these people will come and pray for you.
just raise your hand. But if you want to come forward, just come forward and we will pray for you. I know that there are many believers among you here who need. Okay, so anyway, the ball is now in your court. You can rest, or somebody raised up their hand over there. If you want to come forward, we'll pray for you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you want somebody to come and pray for you down there, we'll pray for you as well.